Welcome to the Certainty Roundtable podcast, designed for those advisory teams preparing for the fast emerging new era of financial advice in Australia. Hosted by Jim Stackpool, founder of Certainty Advice Group, with over 30 years experience advising advisory firms, the Certainty Roundtable podcast brings together the growing group of Certainty Advice firms as they share their insights, experiences, as they attract, attain, price and manage their valuable advice clients and advisory teams. Now, here is your host, Jim Stackpool.
G'day, Jim Stackpool here, and welcome to another In Our Roundtable series. And we're talking today about what I think is one of the most productive tactics, which is two chair meetings, first chair and second chair. And I'm talking about in your comprehensive client annual meetings, and potentially engagement meetings for new clients as well, having two chairs, first chair and second chair. It's an absolute essential element, we think, for increasing the productivity of your team. Particularly if you're on this model, which we believe in, which is less is more, we're trying to do more with less clients. But there's lots of reasons it can't be done. I'm too busy, my team's too busy to come out of their activities to sit in my meetings with me. Sometimes the habits of those that have been running meetings the same way for so many years, it's hard to change and allow second chairs to be quite effective. And also for second chairs themselves, what do I say, when do I say, don't want to look silly. Lots of issues. Anyway, check it out. The whole thing about two chairs is fundamentally about productivity, and particularly in the new world of advice, where again, our stuff, our model, our thinking is all about doing less is more, i.e. we're trying to do more with less clients. We're also wanting to make sure we're building methodical businesses. And I understand everyone looking into this today may not be building a business, it might be a job, and then getting support around that, that's fine. But we still believe the concepts of two chairs is vital for it. Quite often we find some of the challenges with this concept of two chairs is I'm just too busy and they're too busy. Bringing people into my meetings makes everyone even busier. Where do we get this productivity? In fact, it probably seems to be more activity. Sometimes it's just too hard to change. And particularly this too hard to change is quite often for the principals, just to stop doing what they've always done in meetings and allow their second chair to do what they want to do and need to do in meetings to actually get in and get some airspace. Just allowing, not as I use the analogy, that it's like playing doubles tennis. Sometimes the seasoned first chair just steals the whole net, whole court all the time, not allowing the second chair to perform. And lastly, sometimes quite a logical thing is, well, what am I supposed to do as second chair? When do I come in? What do I say? What do I do without making myself look silly in front of the client? The benefits for running this sort of stuff and consistently running first and second chairs is the fundamental benefit is, I think, that the curse of the industry where it tries to reduce dependencies and it tries to build a team proposition as compared to a single focused proposition on one individual. It accelerates careers. There's no question actually dealing with clients across the table, understanding their issues, them getting to understand us, and realizing that 80% or even more sometimes of the queries and the support we provide is not of a technical nature, it's more of a project management nature, a follow-up nature, a caring nature, a supportive nature. Then we accelerate the careers of our team members in those spaces as they get to know and the client gets to know our team members much quicker. And it fundamentally increases client satisfaction. How? Because they're getting broader access to more people, they're getting a deeper relationship base, and we're generally getting more and more people with more and more touch points doing on the client base to do all this sort of stuff. Now, I just want to talk about some definitions, because I think when we put this across, it's really important to understand the definitions of first and second chair. But first chair for us is simply, first chair isn't the most senior, first chair isn't even the junior, obviously. First chair isn't the most experienced, the grayest hair. First chair just starts and ends discovery meetings or starts and ends engagement meetings. So someone quite junior could be a first chair. The key little touch when juniors, so as to speak, or associates play first chair in engagement meetings is that's when they talk about fees, because that's the closing conversation of an engagement meeting. But without being too pedantic, who takes first chair, who takes, it's really which side of the court you want to play today, forehand or backhand. Obviously principals and more senior take on the role of first chair initially, but we think over time, getting others to start the meetings and then the more senior or the more technical, whatever the qualification, comes in during the meeting is another play on this, where the clients are engaging with relationships as compared to technically skilled people. They're engaging with a team relationship. And the second chair role actively contributes during the discovery meeting. That's all. They just actively contribute. Ideally, over time, maybe after a year of coming up to speed, they're 50-50. And so they're between the first and second chair during a discovery meeting. They're 50-50. Obviously, during the engagement meeting, when it might get a bit more technical, they're probably less so if they're not at the technical speed. But during discovery meetings, when you're finding out why does it make sense for us to work again this year, they're probably more 50-50. So it's a really core definition. One of the key tools that we've introduced and had around for a while, which some have been using and some haven't, are these discovery flows. The discovery flows literally talk about the detailed flow. So this is discovery conversation two, as we call them, disco number two. And we go through this flow, so it helps to try to give everyone in the meeting a sense, well, does the client have a partner, yes or no? Are both members present, yes or no? Did we position the Maslow conversation? Here's the positioning piece. Is one partner who does not get involved? Is there one partner who doesn't get involved in the finances? So we're trying to, as much as possible, provide these flows. And the flows are built around this whole concept of getting as much information as possible to the second chairs to support their development. I guess another key thing is that the second chair, when does the second chair start? And so again, looking at this document, so generally if we look at the flow of the nine conversations in a classic discovery. And so in the classic discovery where we're having, so this is the annual discovery meeting, why are we working together conversation. And obviously we can have first and second chairs in other meetings as well, but this is the one I'm really focusing upon. And so this positioning meeting, as we call it, conversation zero, that's done before the client comes in. But when we get in and we've got a client conversation, we're trying to run through these nine conversations with a new client or some structure around these nine. We ideally think this is where chair two comes in, which is literally about 5 minutes in. And we think this is a really crucial element to get into that habit, that the sooner the better we can get the second chair into a meeting. And we think second chair coming to the meeting around conversation two is really crucial. And so Naz, when you do get into those meetings, we think just get ready to start around conversation two. Donna, you've had probably most experience on this call with that approach. Is that generally a starting spot that you've been finding at Acquire where second chair joins in?
Yeah, it's either two or the latest is three.
Yeah, because I think if we find second chairs aren't coming in until down here, and so no. We might have a 15-minute mark, it's almost like you're sitting on the bench waiting to run on the court. And
yeah,
the client's
that's
focusing
right.
totally on chair one, and chair one's into the groove, doing what they do every single meeting, and chair two's just, well, what am I doing here, taking notes?
Yeah.
And so if we wait too long to get down to this bottom end of the conversations, it's just harder to do.
Yeah.
Particularly, and whilst we can come down in this conversation eight, because conversation eight is generally, we would say, they dominate, chair twos usually dominate conversation eight when we get into those more traditional conversations about how much they earn, what their background is, what their statements, who's in the trust deeds, have you got those documents for us? That traditional fact-find information, if we're just putting that to second chair, then it's not as powerful, we believe, if the second chair is involved. But why are we working together? So all these purple boxes around, why are we going to work together this year? What's going to be value to you this year? What are the complexities you face this year? How significant is that to you this year? Getting second chair into conversation number two is the ideal starter. So yeah, if you're onto that approach, Naz, that's what we'd be saying. Try and start conversation two, or as Donna says, at the very latest, conversation three.
Sometimes what we'll do is, if we've got a couple there, on the first person, we'll start off with, say the second chair coming in there, and then we'll swap it about for the next one.
Yep. I think that's a good technique. And so you run through one set of conversations with someone, and then you run through the other set of conversations with the other chair.
Yeah.
Some people mix them up. So some people say, you ask the first set of signatures, I'll ask the next set of complexities, you finish up with the significances. Like tennis, you have different doubles partner, you have different styles. But just ensuring, as you said earlier, that we've got a bit of a, I now know the process, how am I going to play it this time? Look, I'm not feeling that well today. Maybe you push it harder on the side. That's what, as long as you understand the process and the flow, and you have a crack, that's the main thing. I think another classic, and I don't think it's a problem here, but you know, who is the ideal second chair? You know, is it a technical team member or a non-technical team member? And you know, I don't know about you, but I think it's both.
I'd agree with you, Jim, there, that it's, you probably got to have a bit of both there. You know, ideally for us, it's probably someone who wants to become an advisor. I know that's not always the case, but we kind of look at it as a good training opportunity. Yep. You want someone who, you know, probably has, some technical background, but they've also got to be able to talk to people and build relationships.
Yeah. I think the world of advice we're going into, where it's, if we're on this less is more model where, you know, the cure of the part shouldn't be attempted without the treatment of the whole of the client, which is obviously our model, it's what we think is the dominant model moving forward. There's a lot of project management skills, client skills, and strategic skills that might be necessary in a client relationship that may not be purely technically based. And so quite often we're seeing more of these non-traditional, non-technical, but highly functional and quite talented client support people who are playing these first and second chair roles interchangeably. For me, I think it's the height of productivity is bringing as many people we can into these meetings, because we recognize that a lot of the follow-up and a lot of the support and a lot of the value isn't necessarily knowing how to do the asset allocation or the limited recourse borrowing arrangements. It's simply about following up on the client's intent and value and issues, et cetera, which is all about the team proposition. So we are fans of the both technical and non-technical, and actually dropping as much of the technical requirements and just having this, what we call the client requirements. But what do you think about this? You know, first day, second chair, you know, a few of our firms have said, first day, welcome on board, whether you're a support team member or technical team member, you're going to come in and sit in a meeting with a client. You're going to play what we call second chair. You might just say white with two thanks. I'm just going to sit and watch. What do you think of that deep end induction? Let's just do it, because the sooner we can skill you in just sitting in meetings with clients and understanding where they're really talking about value, the better. Because I do think the coalface of the future work is less in front of a screen and more in front of a client for anyone that joins our organisations moving forward. So this is a common approach we think is necessary. And I think the other key thing to the whole first chair, second chair, it's got to fit into what we call the career plan, or as our own team members go for their own comfort zones of careers, about being from comfortable to discomfort. It's only in this stretch tasks, this discomfort zone, where we, okay, Naz, Joel's back next week, you're going to play conversation two, oh, I'm not ready, I'm a bit discomfortable, don't worry, we can, because going up above the comfort zone of what we've known how to do and we've done it for ages, it always takes courage, support, and skills. And so the whole objective is to agree with everybody that let's understand that there's a certain career path we're on, and it fits in with your career path. Not that I want to try and push you somewhere you don't want to go, but understanding that it's only when we get into this discomfort zone and what part is now. So after you've done a couple, for instance, picking on you, Naz, after you've done a couple, what's now uncomfortable about the next stage of development? What's now uncomfortable about the next stage? How do we support you and skill you and recognize that courage that you're taking to get step up around these different steps of the conversation? Because eventually I'd say you might be, the breakthrough zone is when you're negotiating the fees, for instance, but the breakthrough zone might today is just chirping up and saying something in conversation too. So I think for all of us, as we're going through this development, it's not just first chair, second chair, it's alignment of a career plan that sticks with, this is where we want to take the firm, but more importantly, this is where you want to go in your career. And we hopefully mold that person to the role we need, as compared to mold the role around the people that, no way am I going to go outside my discomfort zone and ever come in a conversation two or three or four. And I think that's a different issue. But having this in some way, the whole first chair, second chair, connect to that is really important. So so the summary of what I'm trying to get at is that there's lots of support and there's lots of tools, and we're keen to hear and listen to the conversations. But having a plan around this productivity shift, whilst also recognizing, as Stephen was saying, usually second chair's candidates are already flat out. How do we find that time to start molding them beyond comfort zones, but also beyond their current work duties, to actually start doing more of these functions? Movement to second chair is about this movement, we think, to having the team as the value proposition rather than the advisor as the value proposition. And it does that not by talking on the phone or doing Zoom conversations, because they're face to face when they're talking about the actual value people are trying to achieve in when they're working with an organization like yours. Well, there you have it, two chair meetings. What do you think? Obviously, the biggest issue, I think we heard from all the participants, is about this time, how we prepare for these, how we do them, how we conduct them, how we change some of our time management techniques, so that we can get people more involved in these, particularly at the beginning. I think once we crack that and start to get that flow into these meetings, having first and second chair, you'll find lots of spare time, because you see so many benefits that come from them. Particularly, I think, for the careers of those that are coming up through your team, which we have to fast track. We can't allow our coming team members to repeat the careers that we had. They have to get there quicker, otherwise they won't stay with us, or we won't get the benefits of them being on board or the productivity gains for it. We obviously also need to align it with the careers and how it fits in with their career, knowing that any career has to go through some uncomfortable steps. That's why we provide the props, that we provide the flows we talked about, we provide the tools, and we provide the transcript review to give those techniques and to help so your second chairs and first chairs, progress with this technique. It's fundamentally moving towards the team becomes the proposition unless the advisor becomes the proposition. Whether you want to grow a multi-advisor firm or not, we still believe the future of advice, this less is more model where we're doing a lot more for a lot less clients. It's more about our team having the confidence, not only doing the bits that are necessary during the year, but understanding why we're doing the bits and being across from the client at that time to understand why does it make sense for us to work together, what's going to be effective for us to do, and what does the client have to do for them to achieve that those objectives that they're working with us for. The more we're involved in those meetings actively as first and second chair each year, the greater the value for the client and obviously for the firm. Love to get your feedback on this and all the round tables. Thanks very much for listening. Cheers for now.
Thank you for listening to the Certainty Roundtable podcast with Jim Stackpole. To access the material from today's show or to join in the conversation, head to www.certaintyadvicegroup.com. We'd love to hear your feedback, questions and opinions. Working together, we hope to achieve a lot more for more Australians. CertaintyAdviceGroup.com.